excited to see you guys. Hey, we have just started a new series. We had an interruption in there a little bit, and I appreciate all you guys that came out and listened to Jordan, and I really appreciate hearing how many of you guys showed up at the Gertz's to be able to help them with the hanging this year. You realize that, yeah, that's awesome, guys. You realize that almost 50% of our church on that Saturday was working and serving the Lord physically, hanging sheetrock or building stairs or painting murals. And I mean, it's crazy. So, man, I'm so proud of you guys. It's awesome that you would dedicate your time and do that. So it's really cool. Anyways, that blesses my heart, and I really appreciate it. So we started this new series, Wellness, Holistic Health. So looking at, this concept of if we were truly to worship the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, if we were to grasp those concepts and be able to start putting it in, what would that look like? And being able to take it beyond just a mental concept of, yeah, okay, this is what the scripture says, to actually practical, down to earth, what am I going to do with this? And how am I going to live my life this way? And so if you will, let's go back to the verse that kind of started this whole concept here in Luke chapter 10. And actually, I'm going to pray, and then we'll dig into this. Lord, we just come before you right now. You are an awesome, mighty God, and you love us so much. You have redeemed us. You have saved us while we are still your enemies. And Lord, you have gone to great lengths to bring us into your fold. We are your children. We are your people. We are your temple. We are your body. Father, you continue to build us and mold us and shape us. And Lord, we are yours. And Father, in the midst of that, you still give us this idea of free will, of choice, of being able to do the things and choose which direction we want to go, whether we chase after you or we chase after our own desires. And so, Father, I just ask that right now you would help us. Help us to whip into shape, so to speak, to beat the flesh, to be able to put down those things that would pull us away from you. That, Father, you'd allow us to hear your Spirit speak and move in our hearts and our minds. That, Father, that we would surrender and that we would give us all to you. That you would take every bit of us, that it would be a part of glorifying you the way that we live and how we walk. That, Father, right now that you would speak to us in an incredible way, each and every one of us, to where we're at, and the things that we need personally. And so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 10, starting here in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you will live. This is the verse that has kind of kicked this whole thing off. The reality that when we think about who we are and how we're structured, that we are complex individuals. We are all very different, all very unique. And that is actually, to be honest, really pretty cool. The fact that we have different stories, different backgrounds, different talents, different abilities, different body shapes, different mental capabilities, the fact that God has woven us together the way that we are is an incredible miracle in itself. And sometimes what happens is we either get in this place where we get down on ourselves and we have a low self view of ourselves and we kind of, you know, don't make much of things and we put things off and, you know, there's certain areas of our life where we excel and other areas where we don't excel at and so we don't feel very worthy of things and so we discredit ourselves and we don't get involved in what God asks us to do. And other places, we may get, you know, really talented at something, and all of a sudden we think it's us and our ability, and we got this big head, and we don't understand why nobody else can do this, and that doesn't glorify God either. And so there's kind of this crazy balance that happens in the midst of this when we begin to realize that we are all different and we are all unique, and yet God has brought us together to be able to glorify him in a unique way, in a way that this congregation here of Missoula can only glorify God compared to any other congregation because of how you have been wired and your stories and your background. But in order to truly do that, we have to come to a place of not only receiving salvation, in other words, accepting what Christ has done for us and receiving that grace that he has taken away our sin because of his death on the cross, and that we have a hope of the resurrection because of his resurrection, to get to that place of salvation, that faith. Not only do we need that, though, we need to be able to step beyond that to realize that he wants us to grow and mature to become like his son. That there are things that are in this life that, even though I am saved, I am still wrestling with, and whether it be lies and doubts, whether it be trauma and struggles mentally, whether it be physically, these different areas of my life that shape and mold me, that the reality is, until I begin to lay them down and surrender them to Christ, I'm held back in a lot of things that God wants to do and experience, or bring in an experience into my life, to see him glorified in a greater way. So for us to be able to look at this and say, okay, here it is. What would it really take for me to truly follow God, to truly love God? Think of it this way, to love God with all my heart. Okay, I can kind of get that one. How about love God with all of my soul? To love God with all of my mind? To love God with all my strength? My physical. Now, I'm going to need a tissue. Somebody got a tissue? Oh, thank you very much. Beat ya. Sorry about that. It's not that I'm emotional. For some reason, I just got a bloody nose. Honduras, I tell you what. Anyways, so physical. When I started this whole concept, I thought this would be a really cool series to be able to step in and go, okay, let's really take a look at this, to break it down, and to challenge ourselves. I need to be challenged in these areas. Every so often, me and Sasha will get to a place where we have this, you know, kind of throw out a challenge, you know, to lose weight or do something, whatever. And so we'll challenge each other. And usually we'll talk about stuff, but we never do anything. Or I don't do anything, to be honest. I don't do anything about it until she lays down the gauntlet and says, well, if you can do it this long, then we'll give you $100 when you're done with it. For some reason, $100 always does it for me. It's like, okay, it's all right. I can do this. So there it is. You know, so these challenges that come in, to be able to challenge ourselves to really look at it and go, okay, what does it look like for me to truly love God in all these areas? Well, I wanted to grab the strength one first and begin to walk through it. And I wanted to be kind of careful, because so often when we're in the church, it's easy to talk about the heart or the emotion, or, you know, our mind and how we think and how we process, or our spirit, you know, the soul, the eternal part of us. And it's easy to talk about those things. The scripture deals with those things. Sometimes to talk about the physical is kind of like, well, yeah, we know it's there, but we kind of put that off into the realm of the world. You know, there's plenty of fitness clubs out there, and there's plenty of things out there that, you know, promote health and all that stuff. And it's really kind of hard to talk about health without it getting wrapped up into this, you know, image of health and beauty and your best life now kind of stuff. Does that make sense? So as I was mentally wrestling through that concept and dealing with that, the Lord sent us to Honduras. And I tell you what, I was not physically ready. One of the aspects of Honduras was we had to get our lumber, because we bought a lumber package, and we had to get our lumber, and there was literally no roads to where we had to get our lumber. We had to hike through the mountains And Tom had his handy-dandy little watch that gives you elevation and mileage and all that good stuff on it. And it calculated, basically, for a stick of wood, no joke, for a stick of wood, this mahogany, as mostly mahogany, wasn't it? I mean, that's kind of what we figured it was mahogany, because it's all hardwood up there. And so this mahogany that we go pick up out in the woods, these planks of wood that we bring back that we needed to be able to build this place, literally was like hiking to the M in elevation plus a quarter mile more and then coming back with a piece of wood. So it would take two people an hour and a half to do that so that we had one piece of wood. Tom was the champion. He got six in one day. Woo! Six pieces of wood. And he was dead. And Kevin tried to keep up with him. For the most part, he did most of them. He did like five with him that day. And poor Kevin was beat to tar after that. He's like, I can't do this. Kevin, though, kept going for the rest of the week. He got up to 11. 11 pieces of wood. That's impressive. Woo! Can you imagine hiking the top of the M and plus another quarter of a mile? So you're kind of like starting past the stadium and going up to the top of the M in elevation, getting your wood and bringing it all the way back down, just so we could build this thing. That was just part of it. This whole place was built on the side of the mountain. On top of that, we started fighting sickness and all sorts of stuff. I don't think I've ever had my eyes so open to the fact of how much my health and my physical has a limitation or benefit to the gospel than this last week proved. Maybe because I was thinking about this. But whenever I've thought about my physical in the past, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, summertime, I love summertime because I go hiking and I love hiking and it's perfect because I go hiking and I get in shape so then I'm ready for hunting season, you know? And so there's always this motivation in me where it's like, well, you know, if I'm going to go hunting and really I enjoy hunting, I want to be physically fit for it. And so it was all personal gain. This is what I want to do in order to do that. And it's kind of like, you know, you reap the reward and benefit. It's kind of like Sasha's challenges to me. It's like I really don't do anything until there's like a reward added to it. It's like, okay, now I got the motivation because I have the reward added to it. Wow. I have to start changing the way that I think because our health has a huge, huge impact spiritually. And I've always pretty much thought about it on my own personal level, not on a spiritual level. So let's look at some verses here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I love these couple verses here in the beginning of Romans chapter 12. But look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, he's not just talking about your physical. He's talking about your whole aspect of who you are as an individual, to offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. The reality of a sacrifice is that whenever they'd sacrifice the lamb or they'd sacrifice these things, they would take a certain animal without blemish and they would set it apart. And they would sanctify it by setting it apart. Actually, to be holy means to be otherly, to be basically set apart. And so in order for the sacrifice to be acceptable, it had to be set apart. And what's cool about this is what Paul is actually saying to us here is that you are already set apart. I don't know if you realize that. Because you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have received the Holy Spirit, and you are set apart. You are holy. You are His. You are prepared already in advance to be an acceptable offering. Which is a really cool concept to realize because of my salvation, because of my relationship with Christ, because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in me, I am actually prepared for this role to be a living sacrifice. To think about my whole aspect of my life and how I live it. And if you think about what a sacrifice really is, sacrifice is an expression of ultimate worship. That's why we do tithes and offerings. You know, we used to do tithes and offerings where we passed a plate. We don't pass a plate anymore because nobody has any cash. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like, okay, we'll just. But it's really kind of sad, to be honest, because part of giving tithes and offering is it hurts. I know it hurts. And you give that money and you go, here it is. To be honest, if it doesn't hurt, then it's really probably not a sacrifice. You know? I mean, when David came up and he was going to sacrifice to the Lord, and he came up to the land and he asked the guy, okay, the land and I need the ox and all that, but the guy's like, you're the king, I'll give it all to you. And David told him, no, I'm not going to sacrifice something that costs me nothing. Because that's not a sacrifice. See, the reality is a sacrifice is something that hurts. It's a giving over. It's a, you are more important than this. To be able to hand our bodies over as a living sacrifice is to say, God, you are more important. My holy act of worship, my truly dedication to you is that I will live my life to glorify you. Whether it's my strength, whether it's my mind, my emotions, my spirit. To be able to truly surrender to him, to give it all to him. I want to turn over to another verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting down here in verse 19. It says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. These verses, to be honest, are kind of hard to bring up because they've been spiritually abused in the past. They have been used as a weapon against others that would say, why are you wearing long hair? Why did you get a tattoo? Why did you do da-da-da? Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Lord? You know what I mean? And that has been part of the history of how this verse has been used. In reality, when you put it in a context, it's talking about your sexuality. It's talking about the improper sex outside of marriage. And then he goes into it to talk about your body as a temple. Now, for us, we think, okay, my body is a temple, or all right, so yeah, it's supposed to belong to God. But stop and think about actually what's being said here. So the Jewish people, this is something totally different. See, when God delivered the Jews out of Egypt, and when they were first part of the wandering in the desert, God's presence and the storm, this cloud and might and lightning and all of it, came down and ascended on a mountain. And God spoke to the people. And the people all freaked out. They freaked out so much they all started crying out, we've heard the voice of God, we do not deserve to live. It was such a scary moment, they were terrified out of their mind. And they begged him to stop speaking and to talk to Moses and not to them because they could not handle it. You ever get those questions? Well, if God was real, how come he wouldn't just show up and talk to everybody or let us know, you know? It's like, well, he did that once. You know? And there was a lot of diapers that had to be changed. I mean, the reality is when it happened, everybody freaked out. And they begged him, speak to Moses, we'll listen to Moses. And so, in the midst of all this, God wants to make himself evident that I am with my people. And so he leads them through the desert, and we know about the, you know, this pillar of smoke and the, this cloud of fire, or the pillar of fire and smoke that literally leads them through the desert. But part of that is they build this temple, and this temple was actually, it was this tent temple. It wasn't the final temple yet. It was this tent. And when they finally got this tent all together, the tabernacle, God's glory came down, and smoke came out, and the billow, and the, I mean, it was like this huge scene once again of God's glory ascending in the tent. And the reality is the Jews and Moses all know, wait a minute, the earth is your footstool. You are the creator of all things. You do not dwell in a tent. You do not dwell in a tabernacle. But yet God chose to put his glory there. And he does the same thing again later on when they build the temple, when Solomon builds the temple and they dedicate it to him. And it's crazy. And once again, God's glory comes down and people are just blown away. Because God's revealing, I want to be with my people. The scripture now is saying, you, your body, is the temple of God. Think about how crazy that is. He's literally saying, the glory of God dwells in you. The glory of God dwells in you. God has wanted to be in his people and to show them the truth. And we no longer go to a priest. We no longer go to a temple. We no longer go to the sun. He is in us. Through the Holy Spirit, and his glory dwells in us. If we can grasp that concept and realize the history of what that means and realize those moments of when God's glory shows up, it freaks everybody out. And that glory dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. Now take that and realize your body is a temple. The way you live your life, the things you do, the things you participate in, does it show that glory? Or is it just a rotten, decaying old nature? See, I think when we can stop and go, wait a minute, my body is a temple. This is not like this like, okay, because my body is a temple, I have to be chiseled, I have to, you know, look good. And I mean, I'm not that far from that, I understand. But, you know, the reality of this is we kind of go, okay, let's go that place, you know. That's not it. It's not about seeking our own glory. It's not about, okay, I got to do this because, you know, everybody will look at me and go, wow, you know, look how great they look. That's not what it's about. That's the way the world twists it. You think about how many things that are beautiful that God has given us that the world has taken and twisted to make it one of those things where now things are shameful or things that we can't even hardly mention. Yet originally, in God's expression, it was a beautiful gift, and we've allowed it to be destroyed. And here it is. I think this is one of the same things. I think there's a reality in the midst of this that our bodies are temples, and there is a responsibility that I need to take care of myself physically. This verse is not about tattoos or long hair or any of that kind of stuff. There's places I can see that where say, hey, the reality is in the Old Testament, if you were a slave, you got a tattoo because you belonged to somebody. It was a mark, and that's the reason why it was there. And so that's why God said, hey, don't do this to yourself. The reason why we get tattoos now is not because I'm a slave to something. All right? So it's sometimes we take verses and we go, okay, this is how it applies, and without being able to go, no. Get back to what God was pointing at. What was the heart of this? So if you take the heart of that I'm not supposed to be a slave to something, What about food and how I eat? What about entertainment? Entertainment in itself is not bad, but sometimes when that's all I do is entertainment, I sit the whole time and binge on Netflix, you know? Is that not being a slave to something? See, there's a place where we need to dig deeper and go, okay, how do I honor God with my whole strength? How do I live in a way that my physical health is actually important? Do you realize in our physical health, depending on how I feel, often it depends on my emotions. I got really sick. I tried to keep it as quiet as I possibly could from the team, but I got really sick for about 4 days straight. And right as we were going, I felt like I let the team down. Because people were struggling and all of it, but I was out of it mentally. I couldn't focus on anything. I couldn't comprehend anything. Sasha had to take care of everything, and she was managing everything, and she did a beautiful job getting things done through a very stressful time. But I was gone. I was gone. And it was because my body couldn't do it anymore. See, there's a place where I need to realize I need to take care of myself. And if I don't take care of myself, it affects my emotion. It affects the way I think. It affects my relationships. Sasha's mom is a fairly heavy set gal. And when she was a teenager, they went camping one time. And she fell down and broke her leg. And so then they had to carry her out of the mountains with this broken leg across the swinging bridge and all this stuff. It's just this huge, long story. And that's the only time her family ever went camping in her life. Sasha loves camping and hiking and backpacking and all that bit. And it's crazy. I think part of the reason why she loves it is because she was starved from it when she was a child. But the sad part about it is as her family, they kind of denied any of that kind of family activity. And so, to be honest, they're not a very strong family. See, our own physical health affects our relationships. And so being able to stop and think about some of those things, I bring all this up, and you guys know this. But I bring this up because I want us to really stop and think, okay, instead of just, okay, here's my New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, or I'm going to really stop and go, wait a minute, I need to readjust the way that I think. To be able to stop and really look at this differently, not just because it makes me feel good or that somebody would look at me and say, wow, you look good, but to literally stop and go, if I eat healthier, if I am healthier as far as my physical and I can do more, how does that impact the kingdom of God? How does that impact my relationships? How does that impact the way that I think and my own emotions? That I am more pleasant to be around, or I can engage in things and I can do things that I can go on Saturday and lift sheetrock up in the air and go, woohoo, you know what I mean? And get her done and to bless somebody. That's important. Would you agree? So, as we go through this, as we look at these things, I just want us to try to remember, okay, God, how does this work? What is it that you're asking me to do? And how do I step into these small changes into my life? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. He's not saying only one person gets saved. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, here's the mindset. Don't just go out and be half-hearted. Do this to win. We often get people to come over to our house to play games for the first time. And my daughter's already laughing. And they're always kind of surprised because we'll sit down and we'll play games. And they go, you Hassenagers actually want to win. It's like, well, that's why we're playing a game. Come on, of course we're supposed to be winning. What is it? These dumb games like the Ungame where nobody wins. What's up with that? Okay, anyways, run in such as a way to get the prize. Anyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. I want you to picture that for a moment. Here's a video. Sorry, Tom. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air or like Tom trying to hit a pinata. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave. Isn't that crazy? I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. This whole verse, to put it in context, literally is talking about being able to witness to others, to be all things to all men. In other words, to step into a different culture, a different group of people, and go, how do I minister to you? How do I connect with you? How do I build these relationships in order for me to be able to present the gospel to you in a stronger way? And so that's the whole beginning of this chapter. And he ends it by sitting here talking about, in order to do this, I am focused. We often talk about witnessing and loving on others. The reality is unless we are intentional about doing it, unless we actually step into doing it, it doesn't happen. And to be honest, almost every time that it takes us to be able to do something to glorify God, it takes an effort. It takes a little bit of self-sacrifice, stepping out of your comfort zone, willing to be led or willing to lead, willing to be able to step into a place that may cause a little bit of pain, may cause a little bit of sacrifice. It's not cheap. It's not easy. Anybody who runs a race and runs to win it will tell you that. So to do it with your mindset on it, to be able to go, here it is. This is what we need to be doing. This is how we're going to do it. I'm going to step into this, and I want to see God's glory in the midst of this and be able to work through this. So if you think about all these things, and we're going to talk about some, you know, the emotional, all that stuff as we go through this. But right now, as you think about your physical, as you think about where you are, your health, you think about, what are the things that I need to step away from? What are the things I need to step towards? What are small steps that God would lay in front of you? Maybe it's just every day walk a mile. Maybe it's, you know, maybe you realize I need to lose some weight in order to be a little more healthier, to be a little more active. What is it that you need to step into? What is the challenge that is being put on your heart? What do you wish to do? In other words, when you really think about it in your inner desire, where do you wish your health really was? And how would you get there? Little steps. Find some accountability. Tell somebody. That's the hardest. Okay, here's my commitment. This is what I want to do. Will you help me through this? Because if you just think about this thing and go, okay, well, yeah, this, I got this one little idea, and you don't breathe a word of it, you're not going to do it. I mean, if you really want to run a race and you're going to run a race to win it, first thing you probably do is sign up for the race. Tell everybody, hey, this is what I'm doing, right? And then you start. You figure it out. And you can't get there instantly. It takes, you have to build up to it, right? Tom, you got a race coming up, right, in August? Yeah, 200 miles? 200-mile race in August. So right now you're just eating potato chips and... I mean, that's a long ways out, man. You don't need to worry. No big deal. No. I don't think so. You're already practicing, already digging in, already realizing 200 miles takes a toll on the body. And there's no way he's going to be able to do it and complete it unless he's doing something now to get there. So think about it, all right? It is not self-worship. Get that. It is not self-worship. If you go out and you go, man, this is what I need to do. It is not self-worship. This is about glorifying God. It is honoring God with what he has given us to be stewards, to be able to fulfill his glory. See, your body is like many things. It is one of your resources. It is one of your talents, your abilities. And we know, hey, we're supposed to honor God with our talents and our abilities. We know we're supposed to honor God with our resources. Your body and your health is one of your talents and your resources and one of your abilities. We just don't ever think of it that way. But it is. So what are you going to do to honor God with your talents, to steward what God has given you, to be able to be in a place that totally honors him in that? Last verse I want to read to you guys. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That dedication. Father God, we come before you. We thank you. You are the one who has created us. And as we look through the scripture, it talks about how beautifully you have knit us together. That we are your creation. And Father, we thank you that you give us this physical form to be able to do the things that we do. To be able to experience life in so many different avenues. Father God, help us. Help us not to seek our own glory. Help us not to seek this path where it's about us or to look at us. But Lord, help us to grasp the reality that how I feel and my physical being actually has an impact on those around. That, Father, help us to be able to grasp that the concept of being able to steward this physical form that one day will be handed over for an eternal form. Father God, we thank you for that. So many of us deal with ailments. So many of us deal with pains and aches that will never go away. But Father God, you will redeem it all. So in the meantime, Lord, help us to be good stewards of what you've given. Father God, that you would use us in a way that would be able to open the eyes of others. That maybe even in the midst of us becoming healthier, going a little bit farther, losing a little more weight, being able to be a little bit more on the active side of things, that people would actually catch notice of it, and Lord, that you would open doors of opportunity for us to step into to share your gospel. Lord, help us to have clarity in these things, not to have a low self-image because of how we're made, but to be able to joyfully and willingly hand it over to you to be used for your glory. Lord, we lay it all at your feet. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.